90% of dieters lose a few pounds, but then gain them right back, every time. At Radiant Clinic, we look at the cause of disease rather than merely treating the symptoms. We optimize thyroid and adrenal function, balance brain chemistry and hormones, all of which can cause weight gain. Our medical weight loss program will actually reset your metabolism so the pounds stay off permanently. Call Radiant Clinic at 970-278-0900 and ask for your free guide to permanent weight loss, or visit our website at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our special guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney. And we're going to start our discussion of the origin and the foundation of America's system of government today. And we've been going through it for several years, and we concluded with a discussion of the importance of an informed jury. But your repetition is the best way to educate people. And people have to understand that America is different because of our Declaration of Independence and Constitution. But David will be covering that. Just briefly, as we talk about the financial crisis that's unfolding, you have to understand it's all contrived. Nothing happens by accident. The people in charge are really very, very smart people. They know exactly what they're doing. What is their ultimate goal? A one-world currency, a one-world government. And I believe, of course, eventually they want to take us into a one-world cashless society where everybody will be numbered, and you won't be able to buy or sell unless you have a number. And I think that this is really what it's all about. They've created a global crisis. They're doing everything wrong. Not unintentionally, but I believe intentionally, giving you the impression they're trying to solve it, whereas, of course, it's only going to get worse. It's going to wipe out the middle class, impoverish our people, and we'll gladly go into the one-world government with the one-world currency, with everybody being numbered. After all, government's here to help, aren't they, or are they? Is there, behind everything going on, an effort to destroy Christianity? Is there an organized effort to create a one-world religion with a new one-world leader and a one-world religious leader? Well, with that as thought in the background, let's talk about America, because our constitutional system of government is the solution to the problem, not to change our system. Good morning, David. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. It's a blessing to be on your show and to be able to share these truths, because our founders clearly understood that righteousness exalteth a nation, as Proverbs 14:34 says, but sin is a reproach to any people. And they understood that if a nation is going to be blessed, if a nation is going to have a system of government that actually does what God designed it to do, and God did design government to do a specific function in society, that is to protect and preserve our God-given rights. George Washington, actually, in his farewell address, which, by the way, is the most important political address ever given in the history of our country. It used to be required reading. Every high school student could not graduate from high school unless he had studied and read this important speech by George Washington, his farewell address. Today, it's most people never even heard of it, let alone it being read, and it wouldn't be read in public schools, because it explicitly states things like this: religion, by which he meant Christianity, religion and morality are the essential pillars of a civil society. You cannot have a sane, safe civil society in which your God-given rights are protected unless religion and morality prevail, and that means Christianity has a position in society that's one of respect, and one that influences everything, including, of course, the legislation. But when we begin to talk about the relevance of God's Word, the Bible, and His Word to law and government, most people say, what? I mean, that those two things have nothing to do with each other. Well, they do, especially according to our founders, because our founders confessed in the Declaration of Independence, which really, as you said, is the foundation of everything, that God exists. He exists and he created everything. And God knows what's happening on earth. Actually, in the Declaration, they appeal to the fact that God is the one who's going to judge their actions in what they are doing in separating from Great Britain. And so they were appealing to the judge of the universe, God the Almighty. He knows what's happening on earth, and he has his law, which clearly states what's right and what is wrong, and he communicates what his law is. He hasn't kept it hidden in a trunk buried somewhere in the deep sea. He has revealed to human beings what his law is, and it's given to us in his word, the Bible, and that much of what the Bible addresses relates to law and government. What is law? Law states what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. And the Bible clearly addresses those issues and also what human civil government is to do. Because if human civil government does not have a standard, an absolute standard of what's right and wrong, what you're left with is a tyranny of a fellow human being that can determine what they think is right and what they think is wrong. So as for example, the Supreme Court has decided in Kelo v. New London that any civil government can steal your property anytime they choose for any reason they choose. The Supreme Court, in violation of God's law that says thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not steal applies to civil government as well as it applies to individuals and families and churches. Thou shalt not steal applies to everybody across the board. Government is not to unjustly, unrighteously take other people's property. But when you have a tyrannical government that says, no, we are the law, and we'll ignore God's law, we'll do whatever we choose, then you do not have any security for your God-given right to own property. And so the Bible addresses not only what's right and wrong, what's law, but also addresses what it is that civil government has been ordained by God to do. In other words, their job description is given to us in the Word of God. And so if we ignore what the Bible clearly says about law and government, the fact of the matter is we're not preaching the whole counsel of God. Appreciate what the Apostle Paul said when he was giving his parting words to the elders in Ephesus. This is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. He says that, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And therefore, he says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. And so he discharged his responsibility as a preacher of the gospel, and that he preached the whole counsel of God, including what God says about law and government. You take Romans chapter 13 as an example of his preaching about what God says about law and government. And so today, many preachers neglect what the Bible says about law and what the Bible says about government. And the refusal to address these issues really is a failure on the part of the pulpits in America today to do what ultimately made America great and what actually, as King George knew, the founding of our country would have never happened if it had not been for the preachers in the colonial period preaching the whole counsel of God, particularly what God's Word says about law and government. So it's a modern aberration in which the pulpits are silent on these issues and are failing to do what the Church of Jesus Christ is commissioned to do. When you look at the history of Christianity.
Hang on, David, we're going to the first break here, so hang on. We'll be back here in just a moment at the American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Here's what John McCain says about his health care plan.
Let's give every American family a $5,000 refundable tax credit.
But here's what McCain's not telling you. He'd make you pay income taxes on your health benefits, taxing health insurance for the first time ever. The $5,000 tax credit, McCain's own website says it goes straight to the insurance companies, not to you, leaving you on your own to pay McCain's health insurance tax. And that's not all. McCain's tax will drive up costs, causing employers to drop coverage. Experts say 20 million could lose their insurance. We just can't afford John McCain.
Barack Obama's plan? Strengthen employer-based coverage by reducing costs, cover pre-existing conditions, and recruit doctors and nurses to serve in small towns and rural communities. Read his plan at barackobama.com.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. We're talking about these concepts which were the foundation of creating this country. America was different than other countries because here our rights did not come from government. They came from God, and governments were instituted among men to preserve the God-given rights. Isn't it strange that because there is an organized effort to destroy our belief in God and Christianity, that these things are never taught in our schools today? Well, there is an organized effort. It is coordinated. And the fact nobody ever talks about the anti-Christian movement in America, it doesn't start with the ACLU. The ACLU is simply a front organization so that you'll have somebody to blame, but they're simply a manifestation of the conspiracy against God that permeates every aspect of our society. But go right ahead, David.
Well, as I was saying before the break, if you look at the history of the church, you'll find that many significant leaders throughout that history have addressed the issue of civil government as part of their teaching. Read to Augustine, City of God, or Aquinas, or Martin Luther, or Calvin's Institutes, and Rutherford, and our own pilgrims and Puritan forebears all had a great deal to say about what God's Word says about law and government. In other words, it's unusual that in our day there's a great deal of silence from the American pulpit on these subjects that were so often addressed throughout the history of the church. So I believe it's an aberration that we live in, and as a pastor, I repented myself for many years. I didn't deal with these issues from the pulpit and didn't concern myself with what the form of government was that we had here in our country. And I'm encouraging pastors across the country to do the same, that they would dig into the Word of God and see what God's Word says about these very important issues. And when we do open God's Word, we discover very clearly it talks about the purpose of government. If you were to turn, for example, to Romans chapter 13, in Romans 13, perhaps one of the best-known passages of what Scripture says about human civil government, it says that rulers, that is, civil rulers, are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Very clear. The purpose of government is to punish evil, to curb the exercise, restrain the exercise of sin in a civil society, to reward the righteous, praise the righteous, to punish the wicked. And it's interesting that twice in that same verse, verse 4, the civil magistrate is called God's minister. And the word minister there translates the Greek word in the original, diakonos, which is the basis for our word deacon. So when you think of a deacon in a church, someone who is serving the purposes of God, that's what this says here. The civil magistrate is the deacon of God. And how is he to serve God? How is he to minister to God? According to the law of God. He's to see that the law of God is followed in civil society. In other words, he's to enforce God's standards of right and wrong. And again, this is such a far cry from what modern-day politicians do and talk about. Most of them have this false philosophy. Well, you know, maybe they claim to be a Christian. You know, personally, I believe murdering, they wouldn't say that, but aborting babies is wrong. I personally believe that's wrong, but I cannot impose my standards on anybody else. Well, you're not supposed to impose your standards on anyone else. You're supposed to understand the law of God that says thou shalt not kill, and that abortion is one type of murder that God's law forbids, and that you as a civil magistrate impose not your view of what's right and wrong, but God's word, God's law as to what is right and wrong, that is what your job is. And so most modern day politicians have no idea that that's what their job is, and they get away with doing the evil that they do because most Christians in America don't understand what the job of the civil magistrate is. Why? Because most Christians in America haven't been taught, they haven't been trained from God's word by the pastors to teach what God's word says about the responsibility of a civil magistrate. So it really comes back to the failure in the pulpit that results in a failure in the pew, that results in a failure in the ballot box, where God's people have no idea about what they should be doing when they vote for an individual for any elected official, any elected position. They should be putting someone into office who understands these biblical principles, that the purpose of government is to restrain the exercise of sin, to enforce God's standard of right and wrong. And thirdly, the purpose of government is spoken about in Paul's epistle, his letter to his disciple Timothy. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. For kings and all who are in authority, he's saying, pray for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And so a third purpose of civil government is to maintain an orderly, just, safe society so that Christians can do what they're supposed to do, that we can live a peaceable life, that we can live a life in all godliness and reverence. And it's true, if you look around the world today, you'll see that a government that does not follow God's law, you know, pick any government you like. Say, for example, pick a Muslim government that enforces the Quran in society. In that situation, it's very difficult and sometimes nearly impossible for Christians to live a peaceable life. They're being attacked, vilified, thrown in jail, and so forth, let alone to live in all godliness as God commands them to do. And so for Christians to be able to fulfill what God calls us to do in this life, to live in obedience to his word, to preach the gospel to every creature and so on, to do what we're commanded to do, the civil government, when it obeys God's law, frees us up to do exactly that. It doesn't harass us when we desire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ on the streets and claim that we don't have any free speech rights, like our friends in Philadelphia were arrested and put in prison for 2 days. Simply for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the Sodomites didn't want to hear the gospel, and so they were arrested for speaking the truth of Christ on the streets of Philadelphia. Those sort of things happen such that Christians are not able to do what this scripture says is our obligation, our duty, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So when government does what it's supposed to do, it gives us freedom. And you see, I think many preachers don't realize this. They've taken the freedom of religion that we enjoy here in America, they've taken it for granted. They kind of think, well, it happens on autopilot. We don't have to bother defending it because, of course, it's a God-given right, and everybody understands it's a God-given right, and we're always going to have the freedom to preach the gospel. Not so. If you, as a Christian, do not stand up to defend that right and seek to secure that right, you will lose that right, and you will be persecuted for preaching the gospel from the pulpit, for sharing the gospel on the streets of America, and so on. But many pastors, I think, are waking up too late to this reality, that if they don't get involved and if they don't seek to defend the God-given rights of themselves and their congregation to share the gospel and to live as Christ commanded us to live, we're going to lose those rights in society and we'll be persecuted. The example would be hate crimes legislation, particularly the anti-Christian hate crimes legislation that would say if you say anything negative about anything derogatory about sodomy or sodomites, you're going to go to prison for it. And this kind of legislation has actually been bandied about in various states, and even on the federal level, hate crimes legislations be considered. And if it goes through, it means you've lost your God-given right to freedom of religion in our land, and you're going to be persecuted as a result of obedience to Christ. And that's not the purpose of government, to persecute Christians. The purpose of government is to secure our God-given rights so that we can live, as Paul says there in 1 Timothy 2, we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And so that's the purpose of civil government. God also gives us the basic principles of civil government that are spelled out in His Word. First of all, that government is divinely ordained. That is, God has ordained human civil government as part of His plan. It was initially ordained at the close of the flood as Noah and his sons came off the ark in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. There, as they're coming off the ark and the world has been destroyed, everyone has been killed except Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. And as they descend from the ark, God gives them this specific command, which is really the institution, the very first institution of human civil government. It says this in 6:9 of Genesis, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man." And so he gave man a command for the first time that he was to execute murderers. If someone took another life, first-degree murder, they intentionally took the life of another human being. Because human beings are made in the image of God, that human being who committed murder was to be executed by a properly instituted civil government. And so God is the one who ordained government. He's the one that gives it its authority. When Jesus was confronted by some who were trying to trick him, some attorneys trying to trick him into a trap question, they said, you know, should you pay taxes to Caesar? And they knew it was a trick question because either way he answered it, they knew it would be to his disadvantage. But Jesus was very wise and said, bring me a coin, and whose image is on this coin? And they responded, Caesar. And Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So when he said, render to Caesar, Lord Acton, commenting on this very important verse, he said that Jesus gave to the state, that is civil government, a legitimacy it had never before enjoyed. In other words, that God has ordained civil government. And then he continued, Lord Acton said, and Jesus set bounds to it, civil government, that had never yet been acknowledged. And he not only delivered the precept, but also forged the instrument to execute it. And this is very interesting, because Lord Acton, I believe, has a great deal of wisdom in what he says here. He says, to limit the power of the state ceased to be the hope of patient, ineffectual philosophers, and became the perpetual charge of a universal church. That the job of the church, basically, is to expound the Word of God to civil government to keep civil government within its God-ordained boundaries. So what Jesus said when he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, yes, Caesar is God-ordained, but Caesar has limits, because he went on to say, render to God the things that are God. Don't render to Caesar the things that belong to God. No, no, no. Caesar has limits on his authority, limits on the reach of his power, and Scripture spells out what those limits are. So God gives divine authority to, it's divine authority that institutes government, but God also limits human government such that human government cannot and must never command us to do the opposite of what God commands us to do. And we have numerous examples in Scriptures of this taking place. Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were told to bow down to the idol. That was a government commanding them to practice idolatry. They refused. They said, no, we worship the one true God. We will not worship false gods. We will not bow down to an idol. And so they were thrown into the fiery furnace for that. Daniel himself was told, don't pray to any god. Don't pray to your God. Pray to the king here for 30 days. And Daniel said, no, I'm going to do the right thing. That is, I'm going to continue to pray to the one true God. I will not practice idolatry. For that, he was thrown into the lion's den. And then you come to the New Testament. The apostles in Acts 4 and 5 were commanded repeatedly not to preach in the name of Jesus, not to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they said in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. So civil government is restricted in its authority. It cannot command you to do what God's word commands. It cannot command you to do the opposite of what God's word and God's law commands you to do. So it has divine authority, but it is limited. And this is the biblical view of law and government. The state is divinely ordained by God. The state's authority is limited. This understanding leads to patriotism. Patriotism truly is defined as the idea that I honor my country when my country obeys God's law. I will praise it. I will honor it. But when my country disobeys God's law, when my country actively participates in the murder of more than 50 million precious unborn children, I'm not just going to stand by and say, well, my country, right or wrong, I'm not going to criticize my country. No, I seek to change my country. I seek to rebuke my country. I don't allow them to go on.
Well, hold on, David. We'll be back in just a moment.
Child suddenly vanished and you had to cope with a constantly painful void in your life. A large number of Americans each year have to face precisely that kind of agony. So if you have any specific information regarding a missing child's whereabouts, please contact your local authorities immediately. That message was courtesy of RDS Environmental at 1365 Forest Park Circle in Lafayette. Call 303-444-5253. That's 303-444-5253 for RDS Environmental in Lafayette, where Tammy and her staff are on the air because they care. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Do you want to improve your skin's appearance but don't have the foggiest clue what you need or even what's available? Are you confused about the technical lingo surrounding beauty treatments? You've got fractionals, laser peels, IPLs, CO2s, photofacials. Confused yet? You're not alone. Most people are. That's why we at Radiant Clinic have put together a list of questions you need to ask before you buy any non-surgical cosmetic treatments. Call us at 970-278-0900 and ask for your free questionnaire or visit our website at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest this morning, David Whitney, Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. But before we go on, David, I want you to tell people how they can get in touch with the Institute on the Constitution, how they can learn the very fundamentals of our system of government, the information that is never taught in our schools today. Why? Because our schools have been taken over by people who hate Christianity and who hate America, And if they know that they can destroy the religious foundation of this nation, they can destroy the nation. So how can people get in touch with your organization?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. And we have a website that we encourage people to visit. It's IOTCOnline.com. That's for stands for Institute on the Constitution, IOTCOnline.com. And what we encourage people to do is get our host kit. Our host kit is a simple tool by which any person with any group of people can communicate the truths that we're just talking about here on the radio, that our founders had a biblical view of law and government. It gives people a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, things that are essential for us to do our duty, our God-given duty as citizens. We must do this. And then gives us an ability to evaluate candidates, like the current presidential election. You ought to know who's promising to violate their oath of office before they even take office. The two big box candidates are both doing that. If you understand the Constitution, like Article 1, Section 8, so forth, you know that many of the things they're all promising are an exact violation of the Constitution. They're already promising to break their oath before they've even taken their oath. And so when you go to the polls, you need to make a decision based upon that kind of knowledge and that kind of understanding. So our host kit offers a simple way to do that with 12 lectures by constitutional law professor Dr. Eidsmo, and then two lectures by David Barton, a student notebook that gives you a detailed outline of the entire course, test questions, and additional articles, supplemental reading. All of that's included, everything you need, really, to in a turnkey fashion conduct this class. And we're encouraged, as across the country, many churches and many communities, individuals are doing this and making a difference in their spot, in their place, as we seek to restore the republic. If people don't have web access or would prefer to order by calling us, our toll-free number here at Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number, again, for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And our founders knew that the only way that we would actually preserve our God-given freedoms is by following the understanding, the biblical view of law and government. As I was sharing before the break, that the idea of patriotism is I honor my country when it obeys God's law. I criticize and seek to change my country when it violates God's law, which our land is doing in so many ways today. That's what true patriotism is. And this results in a republic. A republic is a form of government in which no one is above the law. Everyone, whether they're president, Supreme Court, everyone is subject to the same law. There's not two standards for those who are the ruling elite and then for the rest. No, it's one standard, and that law is based upon God's law. No one is above the law. It's based upon God's law, and it's a representative form of government whereby we elect those who represent us in the halls of power and the decision-making that takes place. That's the biblical view of law and government, and it's all based on creation. Just as our founders said, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. In the Declaration, that's what they said. What if they had said, we're endowed by the powers of evolution? No. If evolution is true and creation is false, then evolution endows no one with anything. In fact, evolution, as the theory presented by Darwin clearly states, it's a dog-eat-dog, tooth-and-claw, law-of-the-jungle kind of arrangement, that the survival of the fittest means the most powerful one kills off the others and rules. So the most powerful rule in evolution is, you know, the end of a barrel of a gun, that kind of thinking. The exact opposite of being based on creation, where your rights are given to you by your Creator God. They cannot be taken from you. They're inalienable. You cannot even give those rights away. You can't do it. Those rights might be violated unjustly, as King George III was doing with our founders, and they may be violated by civil government, but civil government has no ability to take away your God-given rights. Contrast that biblical view of law and government with the pagan view, which is exact 180-degree difference from our founders' view. In the pagan view, instead of the state being divinely ordained by God, the state itself is divine. And you might say, that sounds kind of far-fetched. Who believes that the government is God? Well, there are people in government who act like they believe it's God. After all, when you throw God's law down and trample upon it, say that God's law is unjust, that God's law is illegal, and that God's law is unconstitutional, well, what have you done? You've placed yourself above God and above God's law. And who's done that? The Supreme Court of the United States has done that. Consider their Lawrence v. Texas decision, or consider Roe v. Wade, and a host of other things that they have stated. They've basically placed themselves above God, and when you do that, you're saying that government itself is divine. Government is God. And if that's the case, if government is God, the next corollary, instead of the state's authority being limited, under the pagan view, if the state's divine, then the state's authority is unlimited. It has all power that it wants. It has no limits upon its intrusion into the life of the citizen, because it is God. Just as you cannot hide from the one true God, he's omniscient, he's everywhere, all-knowing. So they want government to be something you cannot hide from. That's why we have cameras all over the corners, at least in our community, and that's why they're spying on you, your phone conversations, your email. They want complete control over you. Why? They believe they're God, and therefore their authority is unlimited. Some beanhead bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. determined how much water you can flush down your toilet. Whoever gave him the power to do that? Well, nobody. But because they view themselves as God, their authority is unlimited. They can do whatever they deem is appropriate. And basically, we have nothing to say. If they're God, if they truly were God, we could not stop them from doing so. And, of course, this leads to state worship. Well, we cited earlier, Daniel and his three friends were all commanded to bow down and worship an idol, to pray to an idol, etc. When the state as God, a form of government, is fully in bloom, what it demands is state worship. It demands that you never criticize the state. And you see, you know, kind of shades of this today, particularly among people who would claim that they're conservatives. They find it offensive if you criticize the war in Iraq, or offensive if you criticize the president's Patriot Act, or all these other things that are unconstitutional. They say, no, you dare not criticize our government. Why not? Why not? Our founders criticized their government very soundly. They criticized King George III, put it in writing, and criticized him to a point where they said, okay, we have the right given to us by God to actually separate from this government that is failing to do its God-ordained duty. But if government is unlimited, and if it demands state worship, you dare not criticize it. We'll throw you in the fiery furnace if you do, that kind of thing. And, of course, this results in tyranny. Tyranny is nobody has any of their God-given rights protected whatsoever. Your God-given right to life, to liberty, to property, etc. None of that's protected because you don't have any rights. Only whatever rights the government chooses to give out to you, whatever they like. You know, this is all based on the theory of evolution, that mankind is evolving, and therefore some human beings have evolved ahead of other human beings. That kind of thing. And people in Washington, D.C. believe that today.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment. We're back to David Brown. Our God-given rights. Right back.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Here's what John McCain says about his health care plan.
Let's give every American family a $5,000 refundable tax credit.
But here's what McCain's not telling you. He'd make you pay income taxes on your health benefits, taxing health insurance for the first time ever. The $5,000 tax credit, McCain's own website says it goes straight to the insurance companies, not to you, leaving you on your own to pay McCain's health insurance tax. And that's not all. McCain's tax will drive up costs, causing employers to drop coverage. Experts say 20 million could lose their insurance. We just can't afford John McCain.
Barack Obama's plan, strengthen employer-based coverage by reducing costs, cover pre-existing conditions, and recruit doctors and nurses to serve in small towns and rural communities. Read his plan at barackobama.com.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and I guess this morning, Pastor David Whitney, we're talking about this concept of our government. Why was America unique? Well, first of all, because our freedom came from God. Secondly, because the power of the government, of the central government, was to be limited by the change of the Constitution. And there is very little, according to the Constitution, that the federal government would do. They would give us certainly a solid currency backed by gold and silver. They would certainly give us a military to defend ourselves, but never a standing army, never an all-powerful force that could be used by the government or by the ruler at their whim. You have to understand that if we were living under the Constitution, we would need very little federal government. And most matters would be handled by the states. And yes, there could be injustice at the state level, but we could always move to another state or try to change what was going on at the state level. But when you have a corrupt central government over which you have no control, and where the congressmen are bought and sold by the people who provide them with the funds to get reelected, no man's life or property are safe. Well, that is a background, David. Please go ahead.
Well, if you contrast that pagan view, which is exactly what you're talking about, where the state really is not limited by anything, and the problem we have today is that most Americans do not understand the structure that our founders created, that is the Constitution, which places limits on the federal government. And then, of course, the state constitutions place limits on those state governments. And if we, who are supposed to be the watchdogs to prevent the government from violating its contract with us, its agreement with us, then if we don't know the contract, if we don't know the agreement, then we don't know how to limit the power of the government. And particularly if, as I've shared earlier, the pulpits in America are largely silent about what God's word says about law and government, so that the people of God don't know what God's commands for civil government are, the result is a growing tyranny. The watchdogs are not on the job. They're not equipped for the job that they are supposed to do. And basically, that's why Institute on the Constitution exists, to help equip Americans with a truly American understanding of law and government, which is rooted in the biblical view of law and government, and a working knowledge of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights, such that we can do the job we as citizens are supposed to do, which is to hold our government accountable to the standard, and that standard is the original understanding of the Constitution as written by our founders. So we got to understand the text of the Constitution, which is what we do in our course. And when we look at what God's Word says about the whole idea of law, the word in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word Torah, means to direct, to point out, or to lead. In the New Testament, we have the Greek word nomos, which is a commandment or assignment from a higher authority. And so if we were to put those ideas together, when we answer the question, what is law? Law is a rule of conduct backed by force, not by just custom, based on a higher moral authority. And that higher moral authority, of course, is God's word, God's law. And it's backed by force, not just custom, like people might think that you know, it's kind of uncouth if you eat ice cream with your fingers. A little two-year-old, that might be okay for, but an adult should not be doing that. And so we would say that's a custom. That's not a law. It doesn't rise to that level. And of course, law is backed by force, that the government is ordained by God, as we read in Romans 13, to punish the evildoers, so that to have some force behind a law that is issued to say that you must obey this law. If you don't obey this law, then here are the penalties. And when we look at what the founders understood, it's very clear that they all studied under William Blackstone, whether directly, some of them were his students directly, or indirectly through his commentaries on the laws of England. It was more copies of that were sold here in this country than they were actually in England. And it became the official law book, and for 150 years, a quote from Blackstone would just about win any case in court, because that was seen as the authority on what common law, that is the law that our country was founded on, what common law was. Well, Blackstone speaks about three types of law, three forms of law. He speaks of revealed law, which is found in the Scriptures and only in the Scriptures, the Bible. He talks about the law of nature, which is how God has revealed to every human being through their conscience and through their reason what is right and what is wrong. So Romans 2, 14 and 15 speak about the law of God written on the heart of every human being. And indeed, you go to anywhere in the world and every human being knows thou shalt not steal. I dare say if you spun the globe and you picked any piece of land on the face of earth and we were to fly you over that country, put a parachute on your back, dump you out of the plane, your parachute deploys. When you land, after you've taken your parachute off, find the first human being you encounter, wherever it is, anywhere in the world, and find something that they are holding in their hand, and grab it from their hand and run as fast as you can. What's that other human being going to do? No matter what race he is, no matter what religion he is, no matter what language he speaks, he's going to run after you. Why? He knows God's law that says, thou shalt not steal. My little two-year-old knows that law. She, one of some of the first words out of her mouth when hustling over toys with her sisters is, it is mine. She knows that law. It's written on her heart by God, and that's what Romans 2, 14 and 15 says, and that's what Blackstone called the laws of nature. Now, if you notice here, Blackstone is being clearly paraphrased by our founders in the Declaration of Independence when they speak of the laws of nature, which is human conscience, and the laws of nature's God, which is the Bible. They were paraphrasing their law teacher, William Blackstone. So Blackstone said, revealed law, the law of nature, the third form of law is municipal law. That's what is enacted by civil governments, and Blackstone clearly says that law, municipal law, is only valid if it conforms to the revealed law, God's word, and to the law of nature. So, for example, God's law says, thou shalt not steal. What that means is civil government is restricted from placing any legislation on the books and calling it law that says the opposite, that says thou shalt steal or you can steal. So, for example, the Supreme Court decision that we referenced earlier, Kelo v. New London, which basically says civil governments can steal the property of citizens anytime they choose for whatever reason they choose. God's word says, thou shalt not steal. When civil government says the opposite, civil government is wrong. It's outside of its boundaries.
Well, we're out of time, David. Thank you so much. Oh, David, let's get your telephone number out.
Our toll-free number at Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796.
God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245, KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and really to understand America, we have a four-tape set. It's called The Foundations of Our Freedom. It's a series of conversations we had with Dr. James Herson. It gives you a good overview of our constitutional system of government. The whole idea of the separation of church and state is beautifully covered by John Stormer in his book, Betrayed by the Bench, which really explains to you that the Declaration of Independence was, for all intents and purposes, the preamble, the foundation upon which the Constitution was written, and then what the Constitution says. Betrayed by the Bench is certainly one of the best vehicles we have that will help you to understand how this group of people, this wicked group of people that took over our Supreme Court, set out to change the structure of our society. And who were these wicked people? Why, they were the Masons. They were appointed to the Supreme Court by FDR and Harry Truman, who were Masons. And certainly between 1941 and 1971, the Masonic secret society controlled the Supreme Court with a specific purpose to destroy the secular, probably the Christian foundation of this country, and create us first into a cult organization society, and then into an occult society. And it's certainly, the occult is rampant in America today. It's infiltrated our churches. It's changing the music and the message of our churches. But if you want to get into the background of the Masonic control of the Supreme Court, why, of course, you can get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch the DVD. You can get the book, Unholy Alliance, and we're running short of those, and when they're gone, they're gone. There won't be any more of them. We have the only supply in the world. And then the Paul Fisher's book, Behind the Lodge Door, all of these deal with the Masonic control of the United States Supreme Court. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, Unholy Alliance, and Betrayed by the Bench. And so Behind the Lodge Door, Paul Fisher's Behind the Lodge Door. You need to get this information. You need to have it. You need to understand that behind everything are powerful spiritual forces. And that, of course, would take us into the talk on the forbidden secret or the secret knowledge of both. But the forbidden secret has a syllabus that comes with it. Very important. It explains the European Union. It explains the drive towards the American Union, the North American Union. It explains so much of what's going on in the world today. And then finally, my talk on the planned police state. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, if you can possibly make it from Colorado or where you may be elsewhere, you may be listening to our program, I need to remind you we're having an all-day seminar, our annual Radio Liberty Seminar, at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here on the north shore of Monterey Bay on the 26th of October. That's just 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from yesterday, and we're filling up fairly rapidly. You're going to have your reservations in and by the end of this week, because we have to tell them how many people are coming for lunch, and you're going to need reservations. The number again, 1-800-544-8927. Dr. Russell Playlock will be there talking on health issues. Certainly, Joanna Michelson is going to be there talking about her experience with the occult, with the supernatural, because she was a medium. She saw many wonderful miracles, but they were demonically created. And then, of course, Patrick Wood will be there talking to you about finances. And ladies and gentlemen, You need to know what's happening financially, because most people are going to be...